I bring greetings to you all this morning in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Father, lead us not into temptations, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the power and the glory forever. We pray for wisdom, Father, as we open your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Open our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. Talk about this morning the inheritance, the precious inheritance that we're called to. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, may be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified before the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. In whom, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them which have preached the gospel unto the faith, and the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you in the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Forasmuch as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversations received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who was verily foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times to you, who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead, and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all the flesh is grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof fadeth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. This inheritance that I want to talk about was an inheritance that was delivered us from God the Father and to our Lord Jesus Christ. The inheritance that He has provided for us came at a great price. Talked about here, said it wasn't with things, silver and gold, it wasn't redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ. Sometimes we think about the blood, and we think, of course, the world thinks of just an atonement, something that's just going to cleanse you up and cover you all, and everything is just going to be fine. But when I think about the blood this morning, I think about the life that Christ lived on this earth. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. That's the blood He's talking about. Whenever He was in the garden, He faced struggles. And He faced something that He didn't want to face, and He looked at it. And He thought about it. And He prayed, "Lord, if it's Your will, take this cup from me." And He prayed to the point of great drops of blood came out of His head, because He was in a struggle. He was in a battle. He was in a war. And this war was one that took Him to the death, that cost Him His very life's blood, the precious blood of our Lord, the things that He went through, the suffering that He went through, so that we could be redeemed. We live in a world of sorrow and a world of pain. You know, sometimes we're just almost oblivious to that as far as physical suffering. But it is part of this world. We are in a war for our souls. That song we sang, "A Soul I Have," what's the name of it?
A charge
to have I keep, a God to glorify, a never-dying soul to save and bring it to the and fit it to the sky. The Bible says that what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what will he give in exchange for his soul? Little comfort, little peace, little joy. What will we trade our souls for? We're living in the last days, I believe. We're certainly living in a time like there's never been. It might get worse, I don't know. But we're living in a time of great deception. And we're living in a time where prosperity, at least for us, is very easy, which is another snare, which is another destruction or a deception that we can get entangled with. But we're in a battle for our minds and our souls. Think about this trials that we're going through. The trial of your faith in verse 7. Verse 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. There's a song we sing, though Satan tempt me sore. How's that song? Though all the world forsake me, and Satan tempt me sore. I've just thought about that. It just seems like you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. You know, I was always taught and always believed that being a Christian was you just went around rejoicing all the time, and you just got closer and closer and closer to God all the time, and you just felt warm and fuzzy. The closer you got to God and you just came to church and you got all excited and you just felt the nearness of God all the time. But I find that the older I get, the less I feel of that. Never had much of that in the first place, it don't seem. But it seems the older I get and the farther I go, the worse it gets. Almost the further it seems that I'm away from God. It just almost seems like He's not even there. All of that excitement and the fun of just being a disciple of Jesus, being a prophet maybe or a preacher, just standing up and declaring the truth of God, just the blessedness of being able to do that whenever very few would, and just the encouragement I found in that at times. And it seems like the longer and the farther I go, all of that, I don't know, maybe the buffering that offered, the comfort that all of that offered, is just slowly stripped away. And the further I go, I don't want to discourage you, but I'm just telling you flat-footed how I found it to be. That it just gets harder and harder and harder. I always thought, I guess we always have the hope that it'll just get better. sweeter as the days go by. One of the songs we used to sing. I know the Lord is good. But I got to know that because I know it, not because I feel it all the time. He lived this life and He went through temptations. Whenever He started His ministry, He fasted for 40 days. Fasted and prayed. I've talked about this in prayer. He prayed, and guess who He ran into after He'd fasted for 40 days? We just got the idea that if we just pray and pray, it'll just get sweeter and God will just lift us up to some cloud somewhere and we'll just look around and everything will just be just popsicles and ice cream everywhere. But Jesus met Satan whenever He prayed. I think of the seven men that were casting out Satan, or casting out a demon out of the seven sons of Sceva. And this demon rose up and beat them all up and left them out screaming, running out of the house, hurt, wounded, it said. And the demon said, "Paul I know and Jesus I know, but who are you?" Men that are going to follow God are going to be known by Satan. He's going to take your number. And He's going to watch for you. And He's going to find the weakest place He can find in your life. And He's going to hit you there just as hard as He can. Over and over and over again. He's not playing games. Are you? Are you just coasting through this thing? Without any struggles? Just enjoying your life? Got your heart set on this world? Got your plans and dreams and ambitions and setting out for them and going to attain them? Getting yourself all fixed up in this world? Saying, "I know God." And Satan don't even know who you are. That's not the kind of disciple I see in the Bible or throughout history. Whenever men start following God, Satan starts taking down names. The farther you get, the higher up the list you go. When Jesus fasted and prayed, the devil came to Him and tempted Him with everything that he had. And praise God, He was faithful. I tremble sometimes. At the temptations I have. And I see my frailty. And that's when I need God's grace. That's when I can look to the Lord and see what He went through. That's what we've been called to be like Him. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold, which perisheth, though it be tried with the fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says in Revelation that Jesus said, talking about the church there in Revelation, said, I'm rich, I'm clothed, I have everything I need, I'm safe, I'm comfortable, I'm healthy, I got everything. And Jesus said, but you're blind, you're wretched, and you're naked, you're poor. He said, I counsel you, buy of me gold tried in the fire. Buy of me gold tried in the fire. How do we buy it from Him? Because He's been through it. He knows what it takes. You know, there isn't going to be any wood, hay, or stubble in heaven. If it won't pass through the fire, it won't make it. When the children of Israel plundered a city, many times God told them to kill everything and to burn everything. And only that which passed through the fire was able to come back in to go with them. But we're not redeemed with silver and gold. He's just using that as an example. We're redeemed by the precious blood that passed through that fire. We're redeemed by the trial of our faith that calls us to go through that fire. That fire brings us all kinds of trouble sometimes. Mental anguish. Temptations. Troubles. Problems. Pressures within, pressures without. Let alone just living through life. That the trial of your faith being much more precious than that of gold. Whenever Jesus talked about buying gold of Him that's tried. You know, whenever a refiner they'd get gold and they'd put it in a pot and they'd build a fire under that pot. And they'd get that pot so hot that the gold would begin to melt. Then after a while it'd begin to bubble, kind of boil. A liquid. Turned into a liquid. After a while, all of the impurities would start coming up to the top of that pot. And the refiner would take his stick or his tool, whatever, and he would scrape off the scum that came out off of the top of that pot, and he'd throw it away. And then he'd boil it some more. And he would keep doing that. And after a while, more scum would be broke loose and it would just form another little film right on top. And he'd take and scrape that off and throw it away. And he'd do that over and over again until there was nothing left to come up. Until the man could, after the pot had boiled, he could look right down into the gold and see his own reflection. It's not enough that we just obey a few rules and do a few good things. We've got a lot of poison in us still. And it takes some fire to get it out. It takes refining. You want to walk with God? You ready to taste scum in your mouth? Are you ready for what can come out? Are you ready to actually see yourself whenever the heat hits and you start seeing what comes out. You know, we look at things like that whenever we get under and we start thinking, oh, what a curse this is to me. Oh, I didn't know that was in there. That's a blessing. Whenever we're able to see something that was in there that don't belong, so that we can get rid of it. Whenever we go through the fire of Judgment Day, it'll all still come out. And we can either have it taken care of now, or we can keep it all covered up. Smooth, coast through this life. Or we can let the refining fire of God's Word. The Bible says God is a consuming fire. And the closer we get to Him, the more we see ourselves. And that's a blessing, not a curse. When we walk in the light, we begin to see things in ourselves that we can fix. And it tastes bad and it looks bad to us and it's disgusting to us. And we feel terrible about it. How could I even call myself a Christian with all this still in there? But we keep pressing on. Pressing on to that perfection. We're not called to a cakewalk. We're given this time in our life to purify our souls, to be like Him. We're called through sanctification of the Spirit and to obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. We're called to go through a fire. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We look back through history and we see some of the struggles that people go through, had gone through, because they were faithful to the Lord. Think of people rotting away in a dungeon somewhere because they wanted to be a righteous man and be a godly man. And they had to go through some purifying. You know, we read about Paul and Silas. They got through in jail and at midnight they were rejoicing. What were they doing? What would they be doing 6 months later? You think they'd still be rejoicing with that same fervor that they had the first night? Or you think they'd be suffering a little bit? Sounds pretty bleak, doesn't it? But we do this because there's a hope. We're willing to offer ourselves to God and say, God, buy of me gold tried in the fire. Don't get discouraged when you start seeing some scum come up. And you try to wipe it off and you see some more come up. And you try to wipe it off and you see some more come off. You're still alive. Just keep wiping it off. Keep letting Him take it away. Seems to go pretty deep in some of us. Me, the deepest, no doubt. there. And as long as we can see it and do something about it, there's hope. Keep on fighting. Keep on applying yourself to godliness. Sometimes I, just speaking for myself, I just get so discouraged with myself. I get so disappointed with myself. And I just almost want to say, there's no hope. But there is a glorious way. There's a glorious hope. Even though I can't see it for myself most of the time, I've never had an assurance of salvation like the world speaks of. Never had it. I gave it to God. Because I believe that there is a God in heaven that wants humanity to return back to Him. I believe that. I don't feel it. And I can't prove it to you. I can't give you concrete evidence. I can't convince you of any of it. But I know there's something higher than just for men, just to live on this earth. To live out their days just seeing what they can get out of life. And I know men can rise above. I've come a long ways. I look back at pictures or things or memories of what I saw of myself 25 or 30 years ago. And that's like it's another human being. I'm almost hardly even recognize it. It was somebody else. So I know there's hope for change. Because I've seen it. We can. Just got to keep the courage up and keep pressing on. Pressing on the upward way. New heights. You hope to gain every day. Another one of those songs. I don't look back at my life and pat myself on the back. I don't get any comfort at looking back at my life, my Christian life. I just don't get any comfort at all in that. I see what's right in front of me. Sometimes I don't like what I see right in front of me. Sometimes I just get so tired that I just want to give up. Then I think, you know, this world, it offers me nothing. It offers me nothing. I've accomplished great things as far as the world goes. Been on the top of the world in many different areas of life. Learned a lot of things. And just get to where I can be a professional in a lot of different areas. And it's nothing. It has no appeal to me. All the glamour and the glory that this world offers, the beauty and the sparkle, it just doesn't have any appeal at all to me. And I thank the Lord for that. But just pressing on, there's nothing to go back to. He's called us to press on so that when He returns, we'll see Him as He is. Like I said, not a lot of excitement in this message. Just sharing my heart with you. Just encourage you. I used to see a man that was had lived for 20 years without his wife. And I was just starting that journey without my wife. And I looked at him and I saw 20 years. It's the most discouraging thing I ever saw in my life, almost. That, you know, a lot of people found courage. He's been faithful 20 years. Well, I didn't. That was one of the most dreadful things. You mean I'm going to have to live this way for 20 years? And now it's been that almost. And it hadn't got much lighter. But there's nowhere to go back. I still believe there's a God in heaven that sent His Son to redeem us from this world, to redeem us from the corruption that's in this world, to redeem us from the death. And yeah, there's going to be suffering and trials and temptations. But the Bible says those things, there's this fleeting moment of life, there's nothing to compare with the glory that's with the Lord. Nothing to compare. I just look back at the things that I thought I needed when I was young. And you know, all the pursuits I went after, they don't mean a thing right now to me. I thought I had to have all of those things in this life. I thought I had to indulge myself in all kinds of things. But they don't mean a thing. They didn't gain or profit me nothing. In fact, they're a weight now. And they're nothing to compare to eternity. Christ paid a tremendous price. The Bible says James was tempted and was made of the same stuff as you and I are. They were faithful. I just want to encourage us to strive on and be faithful. Be sober. Be vigilant. Be diligent. Our enemy is like a roaring lion looking for your soul. He's like a creeping one, ready to pounce also. He's whatever he needs to be. May the Lord help us be faithful until he returns or calls us home. Father, we come before you and we thank you for your goodness and mercy. We just ask your blessing. Help us lay aside each weight that such easily besets us. Help us run this race with patience, Father. God, purify us, mind, body, heart, and soul, Father, to be faithful to you. Lord, as we try to redeem souls from this world to go to be with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Anyone have anything?
Trying to go this way or walking this way isn't easy, but when you look at the world, there's just nothing there. I mean, you're going to die, and that's reality. You can spend your whole life living for the world, and you're going to die. And there's a lot of questions, a lot of things that I see. You know, we come from two different worlds. I mean, you know, you were a very respectable person before you were a Christian, and I wasn't. But it was still the same world. I mean, it's still the same influence. Mm-hmm. But I was preaching Friday night. I was out Friday night, and I was talking to the atheist. And the guy knew the Bible well, and he was, you know, asking me a lot of questions. And he was just like, how about Judges chapter 11? Can you explain that to me? Where the man goes out to fight against the army, and he says that if God delivers the army into his hand, then he'll sacrifice whatever comes out of his house as a burnt offering. And when he comes back home, his daughter comes out of his house. He's like, can you explain that? And I've racked my brain on that chapter. And I've heard things, okay, he didn't sacrifice her because she went to her virginity, and she just became like a nun in the temple. But that still isn't a pure answer for that question. And I was like, I don't have an answer. I was like, all I know is that if we're going to serve God, it's going to cost us something. I mean, and I don't have, and you know, and I read the Bible the first time, and that, you know, just really bothered me. And then where it talks about the prophet went to go preach against the town, and the fake prophet came and talked to him, and God told him, do not go back this way, you know, and he went back that way, and you know, but the man had deceived him, and it's like, well, why did God kill him? But we don't have answers for these questions. I mean, not completely, you know, but the man, I heard you preach about that. If the man had been a man of God, then he wouldn't have listened to some. I mean, God would have used the man there and not the prophet that he... I mean, you understand what I'm saying. God would have used the fake prophet if he was a man of God, so therefore the man of God should not have listened to the fake prophet. But what I was getting to is we don't have answers for some of the things in the Bible. We just have to accept what God tells us to do and do it. And, you know, it talks about in Romans that the potter cannot say to the clay, or the clay cannot say to the potter, why have you formed me this way? It's just our responsibility to walk, to do what God commands us. It's not, we don't have to have answers for everything. And it takes a long time to, I don't know, a long time, but it takes a while to kind of get that in your head that I don't have to understand everything. My sole responsibility is just to do what God commands me to do. But I know, or I found, that when I'm struggling with something and I sit still, I sit stagnant, it gets worse and it gets worse and it gets worse and it gets worse. And then you hit a point and it's just like, okay, I'm either going to walk this way or I'm not going to walk this way. What am I going to do? And it's kind of like what Peter said. And it's like, where are you going to go? The world has nothing for me. What has the world got to offer me? If I leave, if I decide that I'm not going to walk this path anymore, what has that got to offer me? I mean, there's nothing there. So therefore, if you're going to walk this path, walk it. I mean, we're in a war. You have to be in a war. If you're on the front lines and you're fighting, for some reason, it gets easier. For some reason, there's some hope. But if you're stagnant, it just doesn't... There's no hope. There's no victory in that. But I don't know if that made any sense at all, but that's all I got.
Praise the Lord.
Well, the message just reminds me a lot of what I read yesterday in the 20th chapter of Jeremiah, where Jeremiah just up to that point, it's just one solid row of terrible prophecy constantly saying what's going to happen to the children of Israel. And then Pasher the priest put him in stocks right near the house of the Lord and left him out again. And he had to just give a message of destruction to Pasher and all his family and that. Then right after that he said, Lord, you've deceived me and I was deceived. I mean, one rendering says, persuaded me and I was persuaded. You've overcome me and prevailed. I become a laughingstock all day long. Everyone mocks me. For each time I speak, I cry aloud. I proclaim violence and destruction. Because for me, the word of the Lord has resulted in reproach and derision all day long. But if I say I won't remember Him or speak any more in His name, then in my heart it becomes like a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I'm weary of holding it, can't endure it. For I've heard the whispering of many, terror on every side, just denounce Him, let us denounce Him. And then all my trusted friends are watching for my fall. They say, perhaps He will be deceived, we can prevail against Him. And then he goes on, he has a little bit of courage, encouragement, and hope. At one point he says, sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for He's delivered the soul of the needy ones from the hand of evildoers. But then he just said, cursed be the day when I was born. Let not the day be blessed when my mother bore me. Cursed be the man who brought the news to my father, saying, a baby boy was born to you. Why didn't he kill me before birth, or that my mother at least would have been forever pregnant, but just stayed in the womb? And I just thinking about that now, what you were sharing with us. I've seen, just I'm beginning to see these men that I looked up to growing up go through things, get darker for them, and they just respond in different ways. Some of them have committed themselves, bound themselves to something dark to help take them through whatever time, whatever trouble they might face in the future. And then they go through this time, they go through times of trial and testing, and it just gets very dark for them, and they might lose their mind, or they might just start doing strange things or something, because they're bound. They don't know where to go because they bound themselves to something in the past and won't release them, won't get out of it. And then others just, like writers that we know of, just turn to seeking with all their heart that peace, and just made peace with everybody, made peace with sinners, and just sing the praises of anybody that has any tiny little bit of good in them, instead of just patiently, like Jeremiah, just doing what God wanted him to do, just letting that same old word come out of his bones. Be faithful. Simply be faithful. It's encouraging to me. It's that hope in the midst of it just keeps us going. I want pray for me. I want to be continually, day by day, prepared in that way. Whatever difficulty. Darkness might be in the future.
I appreciate the fellowship in there, because I feel that too, probably not the way you do, some of you brethren. We all have to experience that however we do, but also I appreciate the realness in it, in the message and thoughts given. For you young men, you know what you're getting into. This isn't play for a while and get everything set up and then get down to the grind of living. You might as well just get used to it right now. This is real. Amen to the message, and thanks for the encouragement.
I just echo that amen and just appreciate the fellowship we have around similar things like that. I don't know how it is to be without a wife for 20 years, but still just the discouragement and sometimes the dryness, just like getting to the point where you wonder if it's real at all, But I had to think of Peter, when the Lord said a few things that they couldn't comprehend, and disciples were leaving because of it. I think he had that same spirit. We're saying, just you're just convinced that there is a Lord, and he's calling us back to us. Peter just said, "Well, where else will we go? We are convinced you've got the words of life. Just stick with you."
I wanted to say that I just appreciate the message too. With that. Reality. Appreciate it.
All right. Anything else? Lord bless you. God be with you.
Thank you. Thank you. Amen.